Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello, happy Wednesday, and welcome to another
Andy Goldstein's TalkSport Daily podcast with me, your host, that fella.
You know him. The fella that interviewed a boxing superstar on last night's sports bar.
Oh, I missed it.
Don't worry, it will be on this podcast. That's the point of this podcast, the best bits from the last 24 hours on TalkSport. Yeah, you get it. Anyway, we start with the breakfast show and the wonderful Laura Woods alongside Freddie Flintoff and Ali McQuist. And after it was revealed that Mesut Ozil had rejected Arsenal's 12.5% pay cut, it wasn't the German who Ali was annoyed with, it was the teammate who grassed him up. You know what they say inside, eh? Snitches get stitches. Do they say that? Anyway, this is what he said.
Also tells you about the quality of teammate that he's dealing with, because he's effectively got a snitch in his dressing room. And no matter what you think of Mesut Ozil, I think it's completely out of order that a private conversation regarding a wage reduction has been made public, and it's been made public for a reason, to make him look bad. Going further, taking the issue of the wage reduction to one side, straight away he's got a problem with somebody in that dressing room. Of that there is absolutely no doubt. I've read so many good things about Mesut Ozil, you know, what he's wanting to do and what he's done for charities all over the place. But in the current climate, when you see so many people, not just in sport, I'm talking about all over the country, doing so many good things and giving up a lot for other people, it's a story that doesn't look good on Mesut Ozil. But I think it says more about what's going on within the Arsenal club at this moment in time. Could you imagine a story like that coming out of Liverpool or Manchester City at this moment in time regarding one of the players? It just wouldn't happen, because they are solid as a team, they're solid as a unit, and I think it tells you more about Arsenal and indeed maybe Mesut Ozil standing in that dressing room that somebody has tried to damage him PR-wise.
Here's Katie Price's ex, Simon Jordan, alongside Jim White and Natalie Sawyer, with a slightly different take on things regarding MO.
There's a lot that goes around about his salary. And yes, I don't think in any shape or form he's merited the salary that he's got on a consistent basis. If he is one standing out for not wanting to do a deferral, the dressing room has agreed a 12.5% pay cut. And I really don't understand, irrespective of how generous he is elsewhere, why the football club that he plays for is not a concern for their well-being as much as it is for the rest of the squad. He's an easy target. He's a target that will land at. But then if he wants to make himself a target, if everyone else is agreeing to a 12.5% pay cut and he doesn't want to agree to it, then he's going to be a target.
Now we can hear from Hannah Moore, the daughter of NHS fundraising, it says here, hero, legend, Captain Tom. And after £28 million, wow, £28 million, that's incredible. Anyway, after £28 million had been raised, that's so far as well, she admitted she could not have predicted the reaction they would have received. This was on The Breakfast Show with Laura Woods.
This has happened to us really in the space of a week. We only came up that original source of idea only two weeks ago. It's so new, and we knew we had a lovely story to share. Of course, we couldn't have contemplated the impact that story's had and the connection that Tom has created with the British public and beyond. So pride is, you know, we don't really have the words to describe how we feel, if we're really honest.
Staying with that show, This is Freddie Flintoff on a dressing room prank on his former coach, David Bumble Lloyd, getting his clothes snipped.
And in the dressing room, I remember one year, we had Bumble, David Lloyd was coach of Lancashire. And last game of the season, we got beat in 2.5 days of a four-day game by Derby. And someone did Bumble's clothes, and he was in the dressing room, and he was like having a go at the side, shouting and screaming at him as he's getting dressed. Someone had snipped his socks. He pulled his socks up to his knees. Someone had done his undies. As he was mid-rant, he's pulled his undies up and they'd been snipped. His undies were by his nipples, and then all of his clothes had been done, and he just stormed out the dressing room. And then rumour has it, he blamed Michael Atherton for it, and he got a ton of manure delivered to Michael Atherton's drive and just dumped. Because it's one thing being the brunt of a joke, Ali, but you've got to set your standard on the comeback. You can't be letting people get away with it. You've got to set your standard.
No.
You've got to get the right 100%. Person, though, as well, surely. What if you get the wrong person and you've dumped a load of manure on their driveway?
Doesn't matter. You're setting your standard. Don't do me again. It doesn't matter. Just pick someone.
They had the Liverpool legend Ian Rush on Drive Time with Adrian Durham and Darren Goff. And he believes, this is Rushy, not Goffy, if they end up not getting the title, oh, that would be awful. Oh, don't say that. That's not... No, you sound horrible, bud. No, that would be terrible, wouldn't it? 25 points clear. Only need 2 wins and they don't get the title. Yep. I mean, there's no need to be nasty. No, I'm just saying that would be... All right, let's just move on. Blimey. Anyway, he said if they end up not getting the title, oh, that would be... Yes, I've heard you. The Reds deserve some kind of recognition. Listen, I say give them half. A little half a title, maybe a smaller version of the trophy is what I say. This is what Rushy had to say.
The way Liverpool have played this season, oh, they've been absolutely unbelievable. They've been incredible. I do think they deserve the Premiership. I think the way they play, they've entertained, they've been absolutely fantastic. And I do feel that they should be recognised because they have broken records. No, we're talking about Liverpool Football Club now. They're an incredible club, aren't they? And this team have actually broken records, which no other Liverpool team have done. And put that into perspective, it just goes to show what a great job the players have done and what a great job Jurgen Klopp has done.
Now, the former Leicester City, Chelsea and German defender Robert Huth joined the guys on Wyatt and Sawyer and admitted he still finds it hard to believe he won a Premier League title with the Foxes, a.k.a. Leicester.
Probably guess you get daily reminders, don't you? People just coming up to you on the street and just genuinely being happy for you that that they got to sort of witness Leicester winning the league.
Yeah.
But obviously it's great. Even now, like you put the TV on and you get the season reviews on Sky and all that. So yeah, it's absolutely amazing. Certainly, I didn't think when I left Berlin when I was 16 that I'd be in a position now to chat to you and about the winning the Premier League.
Back now to the Breakfast Show, and they were discussing the sportsman who made them fall in love with sport. And Freddie had a bit of a left-field admission.
When I was a kid growing up, I was into snooker. I used to like snooker in the 80s.
Yeah.
And my mum's mate, Susan, she used to work at the Preston Guild Hall. She was like an usher, so we used to get free tickets. So we used to go and watch the snooker, and Steve Davis... I know he wasn't the most exciting snooker player, but I used to love Steve Davis. And the first autograph I ever got, and it's the first time I was ever in the newspaper, Lancashire Evening Post, when I was about 6.5, 7, coming out the Guildhall, and with my mum and my auntie Ennis, my mum's holding me up, getting Steve Davis's autograph. And it was the first time that I was ever in the paper. I used to love Steve Davis. I used to love that man.
I actually quite liked Ronnie O when I was younger, Ronnie O'Sullivan. And when I was really young, it's really weird because Ali, you on Question of Sport were someone that I just adored. I loved you. You were so popular with so many people. Was he popular with you, Fred, as well?
I've got a bit of an admission here because I went on Question of Sport, I think, when I was 20. And I went on there and I didn't know much about sport, my own sport or anything, and I was so nervous. But I was on Ali's team, but I was so nervous about meeting Ali McCoist. You've got no understanding of it. I'd seen you play football all over the TV. You're a big star. Question of Sport was massive. You're a captain of Question of Sport. Nah. And here I am, this charlatan sat next to you, don't know a thing about sport. I'll never forget as well. You started telling some jokes, you and John Parrott. It was about... You got on the theme of chocolate and you were saying, oh, don't whisper. And then John Parrott says, well, the next one's a small teaser. And I had all these chocolate gags in my head, but I bottled it. I couldn't use it because I was sat next to you. I thought, oh, I could say something here and Ali McCoist ain't going to laugh. So I just melted and kept my mouth shut.
Well, you should have said something because I'd have given you a boost. You know that.
I know that. Oh, are you a bounty?
See you.
Now we can hear from the former Aston Villa striker Gabby Agbonlahor revealing his recent struggles with coronavirus symptoms and the support he received from a Villa legend.
It was like an evening on a Sunday, and I started getting like these big, like hard migraines. And then the next couple of days, I was getting hot sweats in the night, fatigue. Then the cough come later on. So it was a course of like 10 days. So it was all the symptoms for coronavirus, but I didn't get tested. You know, I just kept myself indoors, kept myself in bed, and it sort of went away, you know, after 10 days. But it was nothing nice, you know, it was horrible. It's probably the worst thing I've been through, to be honest. But luckily, my body was able to fight it by itself. And my good friend, Stylian Petrov, and his wife kept leaving stuff on my doorstep, you know, like vitamins and different things. So I owe a lot to him, and my next door neighbour as well was helping a lot. So, yeah, it was good to get over it, and, you know, I wouldn't wish it upon anyone.
Time now to hear from the former England cricket captain Nasser Hussain, also on The Breakfast Show, and he said he's concerned the 100 tournament won't be going ahead this summer.
I think everyone's just waiting, like yours, with all the sports, really, to find out what the government are going to say, and it's all on government advice. We were going to, obviously, you know, ECB were going to launch their flagship tournament, the 100, this summer. You know, that must be in serious doubt. That needs A, world-class players, which aren't going to travel, they can't travel, and B, it needs crowds, and, you know, I can't see them playing with massive crowds in the near future. So the best we can hope for is maybe some test matches behind closed doors, some T20 blast cricket. I think we'd take whatever we are given at the moment.
Jason Cundy here, and you're listening to TalkSport Daily.
I'm just reading a very funny story from Darren Goff on how he bought his BMW Z3. Oh, I'll let him tell it in his words.
I just got divorced, just had my benefit year, and I was driving to a game in Bradford, and I passed. I'd seen obviously the film, and I went and passed the showroom, and it was raining, and I had my whites on at the ground, which is about 4 miles from this area. I didn't tell anyone. I got back in my car when we were raining, no play before lunch, went back to the showroom and bought the car.
No way.
Yeah, Z3 was there, knowing it's outside the shop.
Yeah.
It was right there outside the showroom. Drove past it in the morning. I was thinking about it for about 2 hours. It was raining. I had my whites on. Literally got in my car. Drove to the showroom and bought it. I got it delivered 5 days later.
Hold on. You bought a BMW in your cricket kit?
Yeah, Z3.
Just how... how decadent is that?
This
how,
is years ago.
How
this,
elite
but when would it
have
been this? About 2000... When was this? 2000 about 3 or 2 or something. It was something like that, wasn't it, when they came out and I literally went and just bought it and had it delivered. It was black. It was fantastic. What
That's superb. That's yeah. Brilliant.
Well, he lost about 20 grand on that.
Sell it.
Now, on the sports bar last night, we were lucky enough to have an absolute boxing legend superstar, Irish Mickey Ward, who was involved in 3 of the greatest fights ever against Satoru Gatti, the first one producing in round 9 and 10, the 2 greatest rounds in boxing's history. And would you believe it, I sent him a little DM on Instagram a couple of weeks ago and I went, do you want to come on the sports bar? And he replied and went, yeah, all right. And this is what happened when he did. I want to talk about the trilogy, the fight between you and Arturo Gatti. My first question to you about it is, when you agreed to take the fight, when it was made, did you have any idea, any inkling whatsoever just how difficult an opponent he was going to be and the fact that you would fight more than once? Did you have any idea just what a battle you two would go through?
No, I had no idea. I mean, I knew it would be like a good fight, you know, how exciting or how like many times we'd fight. I had no idea. I just thought it'd be the one time and that would be it. But you know, I really don't believe anyone gave me much of a chance of beating him. You know, they figured it'd be a good brawl or whatever for a while until he caught up to me, but it just ended up me beating him that first one. It turned into what it turned into, but I never really realized it at all going into it that it would be like it was, end up a trilogy.
What are your memories of that first fight?
Being really ready, I was ready and more. I was never more ready for a fight than that one. Trained very hard. I sparred hard. I ran crazy hard. And I was ready, you know. I just knew I could do it. Other people didn't give me a chance or give me a, you know, there's no way he's going to beat him. Which, you know, hey, they had the right, you know, because I wasn't, you know, I had that really supposedly in his league or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, I proved him wrong.
I have to talk to you about the fact that your incredible comeback and rise to fame was made into a film 10 years ago, The Fighter, starring Mark Wahlberg. Just tell us a bit about how that came about. Were you friendly with him beforehand, or was it a phone call out of the blue? What happened?
I had known Mark for a little bit. I didn't know him really all. I mean, he knew who I was. He told me. No, he's from Dorchester, Mass. He's only like 10 minutes from Boston or 5 minutes from Boston. I'm like 40 minutes from where Mark grew up. You know, so he knew me my whole career, he said, and... But I never really knew him, like, personally, you know, until, like, I met him a few times, but I got to meet him before the film started and stuff, you know, so he's a good guy. He did a real good job.
Are you happy with the film, or is there anything, any parts you'd have changed?
I was very happy with it, you know, I know, but I didn't get knocked down in that championship fight, but I put it in there for excitement, but I said, well, thanks for getting me knocked down to make it exciting.
I know you're involved in boxing, and we'll talk about that in just a moment still, but do you miss it? Do you miss the thrill of training for a fight, getting into a ring? Do you miss all of that or not? Getting hit?
Well, that's the only thing I really miss is the training and the shape, conditioning. I don't miss it. You miss the excitement a little bit, but I don't miss, like, all the... I don't miss it, you know? I mean, I miss the conditioning, the people around the game and boxing and all that, but do I miss getting hit? Hell no.
Well, that's it. That's it for another podcasting thing. Well done. Good work, everyone. Of course, if you've missed anything, you can download it on ASSA. ASSA. That stands for audio. No, I don't know. I can't remember what it is. But you know, it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Acast. I've done it. I've remembered. Good work, Colty. For those of you missing regular horse racing, we have excellent news for you. From 11 a.m. today, we have exclusive national radio commentary from Happy Valley in Hong Kong. Our coverage of this high-quality meeting includes all 9 races. That's from 11 a.m. over on TalkSport 2. You can download the app and swipe left or ask your smart speaker to play TalkSport 2 like this. Hey, Google, play TalkSport 2.
Hey, sorry, I've never heard of TalkSport 2.
Anyway, yours should... Yeah. That's it. That's all we've got time for on this podcast. I'll be back tonight for the third sports bar of the week from 10 p.m. with the fellow with that massive shaped, stupid, funny-looking head, Jason Cundy. And that's it. Thanks so much for listening and downloading. Keep your distance, wash your hands, and above all, be safe, everyone. Be safe.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.